Okay. God has been revealing so much to His people in recent years about His judgment plan, teaching us so much more about how salvation works. And in His mercy, He's also shown us with more proofs than we could ever imagine that the world's going to end. That on May the 21st of 2011, that great earthquake is going to come. God's people are going to be taken up, and then the world is going to begin to deteriorate and finally end being burnt with fire on October the 21st in 2011. And I, as I've talked to people recently, I've encountered more than one person who sees it, agrees with it. They have a fear of judgment. They have an interest in the Word of God, and yet they're not sure of their salvation. So I'd just like to look at prayer this morning. We're just going to look at mostly verses that most of you people that have been in the Word for a while are familiar with, but I thought this is just a good study to do at this time, just to try to help our brothers who are maybe a little newer, maybe have a little less assurance. Could we start off by reading Psalm 88? This is what we just sung. This is a beautiful, beautiful messianic prayer. Psalm 88 reads, a song or psalm for the sons of Korah to the chief musician upon Mahalath, Leonoth, Maskil of Heman the Ezrahite. O Jehovah God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. And look, notice how he's linking prayer and crying. We'll look at that a little more. Verse 3. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. And we can also see annihilation in this, can't we? Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. Selah. Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Jehovah, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Selah. Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto thee have I cried, O Jehovah, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Jehovah, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? Excuse me. I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. Many of the Psalms are prayers, and again, many of them in the same verse where you read the word prayer, you'll read the word, you'll read about crying or about supplication. The people of God pray. As we mature in the Word, the longer we spend in the Word, we should be praying more and more. I believe anyone that's been a believer for a number of years is probably praying pretty much constantly, as we're commanded to in what is it, 1st or 2nd Thessalonians, to pray without ceasing. But again, People want assurance. And as we read these messianic psalms, for some people it's not quite what you want. You read a psalm like this and we're to hear the Lord Jesus speaking in it. Though he's crying out to God his Father for salvation, there are also other verses where you see he has assurance and he knows that God is his Savior. But we'll keep looking at these and we'll see how that comes together. Turn back to Psalm 61. Psalm 61, in verse 1, starts out, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer." See how he links praying and crying to God. Look at Psalm 17. Psalm 17 starts out, "Hear the right, O Jehovah, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips." David was inspired of God to write this psalm, and he says, "Hear the right, hear what is right, O Jehovah. Attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips." And this would be the desire of all of us, that we know our prayer is not going up to God out of feigned lips. It's not a vain show. We're not faking salvation. We're crying out to him in contrition and supplication. Turn to Psalm 119 in verse 169. Psalm 119, verse 169 says, "Let my cry come near before thee, O Jehovah. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word." See those words, cry and supplication in there. Now turn back to Psalm 55. Psalm 55 in verse 1 says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication." Same word again, supplication linked with prayer in the same verse. We supplicate to God. We beseech him. Look at verse 16 in that same psalm, Psalm 55, verse 16. "As for me, I will call upon God, and Jehovah shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Look at Psalm 39. Just all through the Psalms you see this, but let's just look at these. You know, maybe there will be people that will be edified by this. Psalm 39, verse 12 says, "Hear my prayer, O Jehovah, and give ear unto my cry. I hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength, before I go hence and be no more." Turn back to Psalm 32. Psalm 32 is a psalm many of you are familiar with. The psalmist here speaks about how God's hand was heavy upon him as he kept his sin to himself, but then he acknowledged his sin. Psalm 32 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, whom Jehovah imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." Verse 3 says, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." Verse 5, "I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto Jehovah, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Selah, this is a sinner coming to God we confess our sins. We have an intention, a desire to depart from our sins, but we must cry to God for His forgiveness. But verse 6 says, "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Now is the day of salvation." He says, "Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him." And that's referring to the judgment. It's spoken of some places in the Bible as a flood. Once that earthquake comes and God's people are raptured, there's no more salvation. No one will be able to come nigh unto God. We can now come nigh unto him with this tool that he's given us, prayer. But again, just look at how there's no pride, there's just humility and contrition, brokenness, because so many of these verses link prayer with crying unto God and supplicating. Look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 4 says, "I sought Jehovah, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and Jehovah heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Or look at verse 15. "The eyes of Jehovah are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." Turn back to 2 Chronicles 6. This is Solomon's prayer. When that temple was completed, he interceded for his people a good bit in this prayer, and certainly he's a picture of Christ in that. But he also spoke about God's people praying to him in 2 Chronicles 6. If you start in verse 24, 2 Chronicles 6, 24, we read, "And if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear thou from the heavens and forgive the sin of thy people Israel and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest to them and to their fathers." And we know that land actually is the kingdom of heaven. It's simply typified by that spirit, that literal land of Israel over there in the Middle East. Verse 26, "When the heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land, which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. If there be dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew, locusts or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore or whatsoever sickness there be, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of all thy people Israel, when everyone shall know his own sore and his own grief, and shall spread forth his hands in this house, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and render unto every man according unto all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men." And it goes on like that. And in chapter 7, you're all familiar with this verse, and in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, "If my people, which are called by my name," and that's speaking of the Israel of God, the elect, "if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." But again, we all want assurance. And again, sometimes we're not satisfied with these prayers, as we've read in the Psalms, because it's a lot of them are messianic. We see Christ in the atonement praying to God, but yet we have to understand that Christ is our example, and we also have to understand that he's speaking as one that is under the wrath of God. So this is our example. In the New Testament, it's a little easier. Turn to Luke 18. Luke 18, verse 1 says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." He's simply giving us a little parable here to tell us not to give up, simply to continue to call on his name. But verse 6 says, And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. But now look at 1:2, verse 10, another passage you're all familiar with. But here we have it in verse 10, Luke 18, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. See the pride in this, and this is what we're speaking of here in Psalm 17. He says, let my prayer not go out of feigned lips. He says in Psalm 17, he says, my prayer is not coming from feigned lips. But here, this prayer is coming from feigned lips. This man is deceived. He may think he's saved because of his works. He's glorying in his works. But we read in verse 13, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to this house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And we know this is the way salvation works. If God's working in you, you see your sin. You understand that there's nothing you can do to save yourself. There's only one place you can go. You have to. You're crying. You're begging will not save you, but it's all that you can do. And again, we're commanded all through the Bible to do this. In Isaiah 55, we read, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." In Isaiah, where is it? In Isaiah 45, he says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth." I think that's Isaiah 45:22. Is that what it is, right? Isaiah 45:22. "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Turn to Mark 9. Mark 9. In Mark 9, this man comes to him asking him to heal his son. Mark 9 and verse 17. Mark 9:17. "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But we know that there's more to it. We can't believe unless God puts that belief in us, but yet we must seek him and supplicate to him for that belief. Verse 24 says, And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. That word believe there is the verb form. The Strong's number there is 4100. It's the verb form of the word 4102, which is simply the word faith, where we read in Galatians 2 about the faith of Christ. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. That's simply the word faith, 4102, with the prefix A in front of it. It's his unbelief. He has no faith. This man is saved. In his heart, God has changed his heart. He believes. He has the faith of Christ, and yet in his flesh, he has unbelief, and he's begging God to help him with that. And this is what we pray for. The time's about up here. We could go on. We could spend a couple studies on praying. He links praying with watching in the chapters like Matthew 24 and Mark 13 and Luke 21, where Christ is just telling his disciples about the end of the world. He tells them, for example, in Mark 13:32, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is." See that verse? Take ye heed, watch and pray. And in a good many verses, he links watching with praying. Praying is part of watching. In Colossians 4, he just kind of flat out says it. Colossians 4, verse 1 says, Colossians 4:1, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." We watch. Prayer is part of watching, staying in touch with God, and we stay in touch with God by reading the Word. We read in Romans 8:16 that God's Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are His children. And there's only one way that God's Spirit witnesses with our spirit. That's through His Word. In John 6:63, Christ said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." 1 Peter 4:7. 1 Peter 4:7 says, and here in we know in chapter 3, again, he's been speaking about the end of the world. in 2 Peter 3, but he does speak about the end and the flood in 1 Peter also. But he says in 1 Peter 4, verse 7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." There he just flat out says it, watch. Praying is part of watching. We could go on in a couple studies and speak of praying, how God commands us to pray and to seek Him. I just wanted to speak about this a little bit, just to encourage those that are a little weaker in the faith, those that fear, those that aren't sure of their salvation, to simply continue to supplicate to God. That's all we can do. There's no teacher that can save anyone. There's no teacher that can give anyone assurance of salvation. God forbid that any teacher gives someone assurance of salvation or says that you're saved. And that's going on today. And it's a frightful thing. I mean, what could be worse than to tell someone, "Yes, I know you're a child of God," and they're not. But again, we watch unto prayer, and we simply seek the Lord and pray and cry out to Him. Shall we pray? Again, Father, we just come before you and say, could it be that our words have glorified you? Could it be that as we've simply spoken these words, it's simply you using these words, directing your people to your word? And we thank you that you've given us this book. And we acknowledge that when we read out of this book, we're sitting at your feet, listening to you speak to us. And this book is like no book on earth. This is not like any book that man has. And in your mercy, if you open our eyes to this book, we see that there's no way it could be contrived, that it couldn't have been written by men. It's all the same story wherever we read in the Bible. And again, we just thank you in your mercy if you've opened our eyes to this. And we pray for those around us, our family and friends and others. Could it be that we could simply be used of you as you continue in the day of salvation to save sinners. And could we simply come to you, your people, saying, "Here am I, send me wherever you would have us to go." And again, we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.